Hi.
It's Stay F Homekins. We're back.
We're back.
Technical difficulties before recording. It happens a lot, gang. But guess what? We figured it out.
It really made me mad.
I know. You were worried that we wouldn't have the proper vibe, but I told you.
No, I said the vibes killed.
That's
the
right. But we're bringing back the vibe, baby.
I got my weekend water because this is for real the weekend, and this is our March episode. Mm-hmm. And so we are here to tell you that the Homekins can't be put down.
That's so true, bestie.
The Homekins can't be put down.
Hello and welcome to Stay F Homekins. My name is Paul F. Tompkins.
And my name is Janie Haddad Tompkins.
I am a comedian.
I'm an actress.
And we are a married couple living in Los Angeles, and this is our after dinner podcast.
Yeah, we're still doing it, guys.
Still doing it, guys.
This is our monthly free-for-all that we put out on the second Friday of every month. Mm-hmm. If you'd like access to our bonus content, that can be found at our Substack.
Oh, you meant free for all, literally.
That is a free for all.
Like it's
free for all. Well,
like it's just an insane, you know.
I was kind of into like doing it both.
Yeah.
Because I think it's both. Because our bonus content is drilled down.
Yeah.
Like it is
so true.
It's like a focus.
Absolutely.
It's like a focused in
laser focus
situation.
Yes.
Where we, so let's do a check-in, shall we? It's March. It's 2024.
Oh, we're going. That's a big check-in.
America's dying.
Yeah, the American Empire crumbling, and we get to watch.
I mean, we love reality TV. It's the ultimate reality TV show.
That is deep.
Right? Americans love
life. It's they the like ultimate the reality TV show. Are we going to get into Truman Show again?
Well, now you're referencing things that are on bonus content.
Just to tantalize people.
Well, if you
do you want to hear what we said about Truman Show? It's going to cost you.
Weekendwater.substack.com. Well, okay, so we're watching it crumble. It's kind of a mess. Like it's like the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how I think Melissa Stetton, she watches that video of the Titanic sinking.
Oh, the real time. The real sinking? Time. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like that, only it's like slowed way, way, way down, I think.
I don't know if it's slowed down that much. It might be sped up, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I got a text the other day. You know, because it's election season, you get texts from...
Sorry, I voted the other day. I actually voted.
Million different fucking
this
entities.
Is me all day just replying, stop, send, stop, send.
No, I never reply.
Why?
Because then they'll know they got a fish on the line.
It doesn't matter. To say stop.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. You can hit stop, but they won't stop. I've reported them as junk a million times.
Oh, you
they
do?
They keep happening.
Okay.
But okay, so they're getting really weird with their messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they're trying to play on you, on your mind, your emotions, whatever. One I got the other day was, honestly, it was, this is only a slight paraphrasing.
Okay.
Are you serious? You don't have 2 seconds to take this poll about the 14th Amendment? It's like, take it easy. Who are you? Get off my ass. And you know what? I am busy.
Guys, pay for your own election. Like, we have bills. We have bills to pay.
That now.
Pay for your own damn election.
Yes.
I go to the polls. I used to tweet or whatever it was called. And now I'm just like, I'm just living my life. And I'm just trying to survive.
We're just trying to live la vida loca. So then I got one yesterday.
We gotta stay engaged, I guess.
Well, they're making it hard because yesterday I got a text that said, are you abandoning Joe Biden? If you don't watch the State of the Union, will be humiliated.
Is that why you said I didn't? Oh, because you texted on the thread like,
I'm sorry. I humiliated Joe Biden and I did not watch the State of the Union address.
Do you know what is so embarrassing about that text?
Everything?
Is that like the way that we consume content and stuff, mm-hmm. like it doesn't have to be live. Like we all have social media now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't watch the State of the Union and I didn't watch the State of the Union rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
Although I saw some amazing clips.
Mm-hmm. I do want to watch that.
I watched a clip of it.
Did not watch that weirdo.
It's so, wait, we should do a watch along to that. Because, and not put it behind the paywall, just like forever. Because it was so insane. Mm-hmm. But, and then I watched some clips of State of the Union or whatever. Like nobody has to be watching something on their couch anymore live.
Yeah.
Because you can consume it like anywhere and everywhere and any time. It's everything everywhere all at once.
You think that's the worst part of the text? Not the idea that they're saying the president of the United States will be humiliated if you don't watch it.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know.
I've never even used that tactic when I'm trying to sell tickets to a show. I've come close.
Wait, maybe you should.
I've come close. I have honestly, I remember I did a draft of a plea for tickets that was essentially like, hey, I'm not going to be around forever.
Oh my God.
See me while you can.
Wait, that is grim.
That's why I didn't send it. I was having a tough day.
Honestly, if like Biden had sent that, like this could be my test.
You got to... State of the Union, watch it, because I won't get to do a bunch. There's hardly any left.
But like, okay, like to be fair, mm-hmm. like all of the Biden discourse aside, which is kind of like, okay, fine. He's like actually doing the job of presidenting, and it's whatever. Okay, yeah. Like we wanted that, we got it, whatever. But like in terms of like oratory, like charisma, mm-hmm. that was never his deal.
Actually, that's not true. He used to be a much better and more exciting speaker.
Okay. I guess I just never was like, I never went down the, I knew it like he was like the vice president and he was like fine with it and good with it or whatever. But like Obama really was the guy who... like spoke to people.
Oh, well, of course. But I mean,
in my opinion,
when he did do speeches, like at the conventions and everything.
Yeah.
He was much more dynamic.
I mean,
don't you remember General Motors is alive and Osama bin Laden is dead?
No, I don't even remember that. I don't remember that because I remember the night Osama bin Laden was dead.
Of course.
I remember everything. Like, I remember where I was. I was at Aaron Ginsberg's apartment.
Do you remember who broke the news to you?
You broke the news to me.
That's right.
Were you with Eben or something? Or you were like...
I was at the UCB. And then the show ended, and somebody saw it on their phone and told me. And then I was on my way over because there was a wine tasting for their wedding, in anticipation of their wedding.
Right, because it was 2011.
Yes.
It was 2011 when this all happened.
And I said, I'll be over soon. By the way, Osama bin Laden is dead.
And then I was like, guys, I think we should turn on the TV. Bin Laden is dead. And so we turned on the TV. And I remember like all these weird like feelings of like, I mean, that was like 10 years of looking for the dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could he have hit it? Like if that happened tomorrow, you know, mm-hmm. God forbid or whatever, and we had to find someone... Mm-hmm. Could we find them faster now than we could have 10 years, like in 2011?
Don't know.
Because that was like, that was crazy that it took that long to find him.
Do you remember when Saddam Hussein was in the spider hole?
Sort of. I kind of remember that. I just remember like.
They pulled him out. He was looking rough.
I was so into this documentary I watched on Netflix about the octopus murders.
Oh, yeah.
And like okay, the whole like George H.W. Bush in the CIA thing, mm-hmm. like, okay, something was up there.
Yeah.
There was something up there. Yeah. Something was up.
Yeah.
Also, like, I've heard his name in connection to like Bohemian Grove and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I have too. Yeah.
But like not Bohemian Grove, just like, oh, the country club. I mean like Bohemian Grove, like the pedophile. Now I sound like a QAnon person.
Well, all I've ever heard about Bohemian Grove is that it's this weird thing where these guys get nude and shit and, you know, who knows what goes on there.
I know someone who is I'm not going to say their name, but an acquaintance through mm-hmm. a friend of ours that said that they have been to Bohemian Grove. Mm-hmm. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No. But with whom? You know what I mean?
Like their dad or I can't remember the whole story, but like it was like, oh, it's just like a club, like
is
a private.
Your friend Dick Cheney?
You know what? I wanna that would be like a cool screenplay, like a Yentl, but like to infiltrate. Like, it's not like I want to be educated, like, but I want to
you
be.
You just
want to
be in
I
on
want
the
to
secrets.
Go to Bohemian Grove. Yeah. Like, I want to go to Bohemian Grove.
Yeah.
I want to see what Clarence Thomas's fetish, like, sexual fetishes are.
Ew.
Well, because, like, I would tell everyone.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can't kink shame. Not even Clarence
I think
Thomas.
That Clarence Thomas deserves a little kink shame.
I don't know. It's like that thing of if you don't like somebody, if you think somebody's a bad person, it's okay to make fun of the way they look. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. When you realize it, it's like that's kind of this person.
Oh,
you know,
like Donald Trump. Like when people are like, oh, like, Donald Trump is so ugly.
There's so many bad things about this
he's
person.
So ugly.
You don't. It's just an easy, cheap shot to say. And it's also it's muddying the message.
I know.
Of course you want to talk about how he looks because he looks weird. He's a weirdo. And he thinks he's great.
He's objectively and unattractive.
Sure.
But like, you know why? Because pretty is as pretty does.
Wow.
And he ain't pretty on the inside or the out.
It's so true. But still.
But also like there's so many
other
things.
That doesn't give you license though. You know what I mean? I mean, look.
I guess.
Look, obviously. Okay, just between you and me. Of course, we see Donald Trump on TV. We're going to make fun of the way he looks, of course. But I'm saying in the wider discourse of the world.
But there are plenty of people that don't fit, like, the standard of beauty or whatever that have, like, incredibly beautiful souls.
Of course there are.
And so we say, oh, they're beautiful or they're beautiful to me or whatever. So sometimes we're just, like, saying, like, I'm reacting to him as an ugly person.
We honestly, as a society, should not be talking about everyone's appearance so much.
Okay, fair enough.
You know?
Fair enough, but...
We're all guilty of it. I do it.
But also, like, it is sort of like the first... It's like the first sort of impression, like first impressions.
Yeah, but we're not animals. You know what I mean?
I guess. I mean, I find it shallow, but I also do like find certain people appealing looking.
Of course, everybody does. Of course, we all do.
That guys, that was on one of our bonus podcasts. We talked
the great Sally Struthers.
Of course, we all do.
You want to make more money? Sure, we all do.
I mean, yeah, I do.
And I'd forgotten what that commercial was for.
And it was for job hunting.
I looked it up and it was essentially like, yeah, an employment agency, kind of. You'd call a number and they listed
every, should call the number right now.
Every job imaginable.
We
gun repair. Assembling calculators. Sales.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I want to call that number right now because I would like to know.
If they're still kicking?
Yeah.
Are they still placing people in every single job you can think of?
Yeah, I want like some fun.
Zookeeper.
I want some fun jobs. Like, I'm ready to do some fun jobs.
Milliner.
Are there any fun jobs out there anymore?
What's the funnest job, do you think?
The funnest job?
Yeah.
Um, Can I be last?
That really puts pressure on me now.
Yeah. Wait, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be being a cocktail maker with flair at an outdoor bar,
mm-hmm.
like in Tahiti or whatever, or in the Bahamas or whatever? Do you know what job I'm referring to?
Well, something straight out of the movie Cocktail.
Cocktails
starring Tom Cruise as Brian Flanagan.
Cocktails and Dreams.
Cocktails and Dreams.
Cocktails and Dreams.
Well, that was his name, right? Brian Flanagan?
Wait, the famous character? Bartender?
Yeah.
Who was like...
No, star bartender?
Star bartender, yeah. Brian Flanagan.
And then I forget what Brian Brown's name was, but he had a thing where he would say, so-and-so's law, number 422
oh,
or
yeah.
whatever.
Duncan's law. Or whatever.
His name,
it was like, or it was like Donald's law, or some number 43. Have fun when you make the cocktails.
Then he died on the yacht.
Wait. Okay. Yeah. Would that be fun?
Well, I mean, you're still a bartender. You still have to do like. There's a lot of shit that goes with bartending that's not fun.
Like if you don't have a good bar back or somebody.
But if you're
like
the star bartender.
You're the fucking star bartender.
And you can take a full 10 minutes to make a drink, then you're having a great time.
I think a fun job, this has always been like sort of my, oh my heavens, my fun job would be like, I work in a tiny little shop,
mm-hmm.
maybe that sells like, 3 pieces of art that are $1 million a piece,
mm-hmm.
in NoHo or not NoHo or Nolita, mm-hmm. in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
The shop is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and it's quiet and beautiful, and I get to determine the playlist because I'm the only one who works there.
Right.
I also have been given a free apartment in Nolita in Manhattan because I'm the shop
right.
keeper.
Yeah.
It's a very quiet, beautiful shop.
Is the apartment right above the shop?
It's right above the shop.
Yeah, has to be.
And because I am the shopkeeper and I sell the 3 pieces of $1 million art
mm-hmm.
in Nolita,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like can be like by appointment only like... You know, like if I decide I want to open one day at 11:30, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to open one day at 9, that's fine. I can go and grab a lunch or a coffee. I just flip the sign that says back in 15 or whatever.
Right.
Do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But my beautiful Nolita apartment is above that is covered by, you know, I sell like $1 million piece of art mm-hmm. and that covers... And I own the whole thing, I guess.
Right.
What do you think about that job?
I think that sounds nice.
How do I do that? How do I get that?
Oh, I thought we were just doing pie in the sky. I didn't think we were actually pursuing
that's
these
my
things.
Pie in the sky is this beautiful shop where I get to run the playlist
mm-hmm.
that sells.
And do you see anybody ever coming into the shop?
Well, yeah, because they have to buy.
Like, I didn't know if part of it was, it's not a very successful shop and you get to be there all
no,
by yourself.
No, it's successful because the things I sell like these. Pieces of art that are $1 million a piece
mm-hmm.
and like really rich people want them and they believe it's like they believe if they buy this $1 million thing like it's going to give them this sense of status in some way. So I'm not just selling them this $1 million piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
I'm selling them like I'm assuring them that if they give me the $1 million for the piece
Wait, do you
of
own
art.
The shop or you just work
I guess
there?
I own it somehow. Maybe it was like bequeathed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely in Nolita though.
Okay.
In Manhattan.
Okay.
And maybe even it's one of those old buildings where there's like a secret tunnel to some other buildings.
Okay. I honestly.
Okay, I'm giving you pie in the sky. Pie in the sky.
If we're talking... Let's say we're talking New York.
Oh, wait. So you're going to also work in New York?
Sure.
You can live with me because we're married in the apartment.
Thank you. And my shop is right next door to your shop.
Oh, you can have a shop next door. Okay. Shop next door. What's your shop?
I sell hats.
Fun.
I sell men's hats.
You know what? We have a double apartment mm-hmm. that spans both mm-hmm. of the shops.
The shops, right. Secret door between them.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously, there's a tunnel under my shop, too.
Well, the tunnels are definitely under these shops.
Do you think they're joined?
Well, for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. like, whatever, like, the Nolita tunnels. Because there's, like...
I'm not real clear where Nolita is.
It's, like, north of Little Italy.
Oh,
or whatever.
Nolita,
yeah. Yeah.
Nol...
No.
No. No. Lee.
Although Leet. Is Little Italy still there? Because like I feel like back when I used to live in Manhattan, like some of these neighborhoods were becoming like no longer the characteristics of the neighborhoods that they are supposed to be.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, right, right. So do you think Nolita now people act like they're south of Little Italy?
I don't know.
So the no is north.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Lee, which you would think is part of Little,
mm-hmm.
but it's got to be, the I's got to be part of Italy. So it's no, ul, ida.
What? Wait, I think there's three. Like, oh, it might shit. Not be north, it might be, oh my God, this is embarrassing. Lita? What is no, Lee, ida? Oh, it's just north of Little Italy.
You thought there were three what? Three neighborhoods?
Well, you were making me doubt it because you were like saying like...
I'm just talking about the portmanteau.
It's no for north.
Yeah.
L is just for the little.
Right.
And then the Ita is part of Italy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Right?
It must be. I can't accept the I as part of Little.
I just loved Nolita like... And there's like tunnels there.
I didn't know you were such a tunnel fanatic.
Well, like in New York, mm-hmm. sure.
If this is New York, we'd be in a tunnel right now. You know what I miss about New York? The tunnels.
The tunnels.
I love the tunnels under
the
shops.
Well, they've got all the subway tunnels.
It's not the same.
Wait, so you're going to sell hats. So you're fine with living in Manhattan on these apartments?
I mean, if we're talking about a crazy fantasy life that's never going to happen, sure.
Okay, but also, like, what if it was, like, a shop, like, by a beach or something where you just sold, like, snow cones to little kids?
Oh, well, that to me is my retirement plan.
Oh, it is?
Yes. It's to be, like, in a shack by the beach that rents out.
Okay, this is the first time.
No, I've mentioned this before.
No, but you, because I'll say like, oh, what's our retirement plan? And then you're like, we're not going to retire or whatever. We can't retire. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But like, what if no one wants us anywhere? And like, what if society rejects us?
What if the entertainment industry crumbles along with America, as it is likely to do as of now?
It's not looking good for the entertainment industry.
Looking good. I feel like those people that are working now, they'll always have work and good for them.
Did you know Adam Sandler is the highest paid actor?
Like, in all of Hollywood? Or he's made the most money?
Wait, yeah. Like the highest paid actor last year was Adam Sandler.
Highest paid actor.
Yeah, because I guess like because he has that Netflix. He has like a
so
Netflix.
So because he's done multiple projects?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I meant. Oh, wait. I know what the headline was. He was the highest earner.
Earner, yeah. So he made the most money.
Yes.
In all of Hollywood.
Because like I guess like he has this overall deal.
Yes.
At Netflix.
Do you know, I just heard about this movie.
Yeah.
And our friend Padgett told me about this movie that I'd never heard of.
Okay.
There's a movie called Spaceman. And it's a drama starring Adam Sandler
okay.
as an astronaut.
What?
Yes.
When was it made?
Last year, maybe.
For Netflix then, because he's like owned by Netflix.
Yeah. But it's a drama.
So like he can just do whatever he wants because.
I guess, right?
Like if you have an overall deal at Netflix, I guess like. Yeah, they want the content from you.
Yes.
So if you're like, I think I want this, and then they're like, okay.
Yeah.
You can do that, but you got to give us three comedies. Right?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, fine.
Dave Chappelle's like, I want to do three consecutive specials about trans people and making fun of them. And then Netflix is like, fine, but go ahead and do it.
They're like, how much more money can
fine,
we give
but
you?
We're going to give you millions of dollars.
We don't want to underpay you. So like,
don't let us underpay you.
So wait, you're going to talk about, like, you're going to be derogatory about a certain sector of society. Okay, how much more money do you want?
Yeah, and they're a marginalized group of people, right? Okay, so we're just going to back a truck of money up to your house. How about that?
That's to me is a real disappointment of his whole deal.
Yeah.
You know?
And disappointing about Netflix. How about that?
Well, yeah, but like Netflix is like they are like a data machine, right? Like an algorithm, like a spreadsheet machine. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes. The algorithm knows no color, no race. No gender.
You guys, the algorithm is like the most inclusive
thing. I love you, algorithm.
Because the algorithm
algorithm treats us all the same.
Oh, yeah. The algorithm was not molded at all by any previous anything.
I just want to say thank you, algorithm.
Wait, the algorithm needs to reset itself. The algorithm needs to check itself before it wrecks itself.
I think that ship has sailed. I think the algorithm has wrecked itself.
No, it needs to check itself.
It should have checked itself, but I think it has already wrecked itself.
The algorithm is boring.
Algorithm is daddy.
Algorithm is not daddy.
Algorithm is daddy.
Daddy. Daddy. Algorithm is daddy, but is algorithm that a zaddy?
No.
Algorithm?
No, we can't confuse algorithm. Algorithm is daddy.
Algorithm is a punk ass bitch.
What? You've really changed your tune. You're saying algorithm is a pab?
Do you know what I think?
What?
I think in 5 years, there's going to be like this wave of Hollywood creatives or whatever, mm-hmm. or like executives. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, we're going back to like discovering talent and using our instincts because we tried the algorithm and it didn't change the amount of money we make. So we're just like actually going to hire people that have taste and see what that does. Like, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be like a throwback.
I mean, I'd love that. You know what would be great, honestly, for us as a society?
Yeah.
If we were to say 2025, so everybody has a year to prepare. No, 2026.
Okay. Give us a little extra time.
You know what?
2027.
I'm going to say 2030. So you have 6 years.
In the year 2030.
What's that song, dear?
In the year 2525.
Oh, I see.
Was
if mankind is still alive.
Is that the name of the song?
Very pessimistic. It's a real song, yeah. In the year 25.
I mean, that's the name?
In the year 2525. I think it's called 2525. Or in the year 2525. But here's what I'm going to say.
Oh, what's going to happen in 2030?
We have 6 years to prepare. A little over five years to prepare for this.
Oh, boy. I'm listening.
No more electricity.
Why?
Because we got to fucking start over.
No.
We got to start over.
No.
I'm not saying Pol Pot year zero. I'm saying We have lost our electricity privileges. So no internet, no phones. Maybe like the two-piece phones where you have to hold the thing up to your ear and your mouth.
I like electricity.
I do too. I love it.
If I had to choose
Ben Franklin.
If I had to choose electricity over internet, I would choose electricity every fucking time.
I know, but I feel like we really need to learn a lesson. And yeah, so here's how
I think we're teaching ourselves.
Here's how you find out what the president has to say.
Okay.
It's in the paper, or you go to the train station where he's doing a fucking tour. He's hanging off the back of the train going, vote for me.
We can't do that because climate change has made it too hot to be outside.
You don't think that if we...
Well...
What would be a better reset for climate change than to stop using electricity and fossil fuels?
And by the way, you know, like the first year of COVID, like the pollution went down.
Remember,
like
the dolphins returned to Venice.
Remember the dolphins returned to Venice?
I remember when the dolphins returned to Venice.
So now I'm like, was that all fake news? Did that all really happen? Do you know what I'm saying?
I bet it happened. Yeah. I bet it happened.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So we go back to that, except you can walk around. You don't have to, you know, there's no quarantine. It's just no electricity.
But like how long will it?
For 5 years.
So if it, for 5 years. Okay. Yes. For 5 years.
For 5 years. So you know there's an end to it.
So like a cleanse, like a detox.
Honey, exactly. This is exactly what I'm proposing.
But a 5 year cleanse?
A 5 year cleanse. That's what it's going
to
take.
But people who live in cold climates are going to die because they're not going to have enough wood to heat themselves during the winter and
Well, they should have thought about that. Before they abused electricity by inventing QAnon.
But is electricity the problem?
I'm saying it takes a lot of things away. You can't have Wi-Fi. You can't have, you know what I mean?
Is this like when Alicia Keys decided not to wear makeup?
This is exactly like that.
But then she eventually went back,
I'll wear a little makeup.
A little bit, yeah.
Exactly. So we get a little bit of electricity back.
So can we use batteries?
No.
Why not?
No.
That's not electricity.
We're going back to a time before we have all these things.
Like caveman fucking times?
No, not that far back.
Like John Adams when he's like using
a little closer than that. So like I'm going to say like late 1800s. But look.
They had electricity, I thought.
They had some. So is that what the last year right before electricity? That's the year we're going to.
But for 5 years.
For 5 years. Or we proceed from there. Like things get electrified as they did in order.
I think that your thought experiment
is great. But was that what you were going
to
say?
I was going to say, I think that the goal that you're looking to achieve could be achieved in 1 month. It doesn't have to be 5 years.
No. There's no way. You can't trust people. You have to, because 1 month is too short a time. You'll be miserable and you won't learn to do things that you need to do.
Oh, you're saying we have to like...
We have to provide for ourselves. Heat, light. You know what I mean?
How are we going to provide heat and light for ourselves?
There's still candles and shit. There's still fireplaces. There's still wood.
Well,
I mean, radiators, I don't know how much electricity they use, like in an apartment building.
I don't know. I don't know how anything works.
I don't either. Don't tell anyone.
And you know what? I like it that way. I want that magic in my life. I want to flip a switch and have, sure. I want to turn the water on and I want it to be hot.
Of course, of course.
Like that, these modern conveniences are magic. And if we take that away, then... What is the fucking, like, is that all there is? Like, you know what I mean?
It's just for 5 years.
It's called human progress.
And look where we are.
Like, I'm into the human progress. I'm not into the human, like, kind of mindset. Mm-hmm. It's the mindset that needs changed.
This is how we would change the mindset.
You're going to put us on restriction.
Yes.
as a society because we've been bad, bad boys and girls.
That's right. That's right.
But we can't just get like an attitude adjustment some other way.
This is the attitude adjustment that everyone needs.
I don't know. What about your hat shop? How are people going to see to put those fucking hats
I'll have
on
fucking
there?
Lanterns. First of all, I'm open during the day.
Okay. That's a good point.
We could have gas lamps.
I do.
I think that's charming.
You know what? I do like a gas
lamp.
You do
like a gas lamp.
I do like a gas lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that's good. That one's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that.
Thank
but
you.
But how are you going to watch the Oscars this
We're
Sunday?
Not. There's not going to be an Oscars.
This sucks. This sucks.
Here's the thing. There will be an Oscars, but it will be, as it was in the beginning, a private ceremony that was not broadcast. And we'll find out in the paper. Extra, extra, Oppenheimer sweeps Oscars.
Oh, Oppenheimer probably will.
What would have happened? Well, wait a minute. There's not going to be movies.
Yeah, how are we going to see them fucking movies without the electricity?
We're not.
No, it's someone be- could. You know what? Someone with the gas lamp put it behind the celluloid.
Right.
And they just crank it. They hand crank it.
For fucking maestro length? For like 2.5 hours?
Movies will be shorter in the, like Judd
They'll
Apatow.
Have to be.
Tao won't be able to.
Sorry, Judd Apatow.
I mean, well, I think like we could do it as a team. Like I could do the first 15 minutes. Aww. You could do the second 15
now,
minutes.
Do you see now how my plan is so good? Because now there's teamwork where there wasn't before. Before the, now that the projectionist is a tyrant working all by himself. And now there's a team. This is beautiful.
Okay. All right. I mean, I guess I would just have to deal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would just have to deal.
Well, I mean, you're not alone. I'd be there too.
But it would just suck. I mean, like,
yeah,
I just.
At first.
Until when? Like, how long?
You figure things
no,
out.
No, I think it would take me the entire 5 years.
No, it would not. It would not. With whatever money we are saving.
Yes.
From all of this expenditure of energy.
Okay.
The electricity.
Mm-hmm.
There will be more wood. There'll be more whatever. We don't want to use coal, I guess. I mean, a coal stove, it's not as bad as a coal mine, but where are you getting the coal from?
So right. Someone has to go in there.
Wood burning stoves and fireplaces.
Do they have to put people in there again? Like people are going to die again?
No. I already said I didn't want to do that.
Maybe we burn all the plastic. Did you know there's more plastic now than like three Earths or something? I don't know. I saw some headline about it.
Wait, we're one Earth.
I know. That's how much.
Where are we hiding this two extra Earths worth of plastic?
Like, because it's like stacked on top of each other. Also, like the plastic situation has gotten out of hand.
It's OOH.
Everything is plastic.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to... I don't know. I got to go to another planet. I'm done with this one. I really am fucking done with this planet.
Why don't we take all of this plastic...
By the way, we're not high. Are you high?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Because you really are...
I'm trying to solve problems.
Okay. All right.
We take one Earth's worth of plastic...
Okay. And?
Make it into a spacecraft.
Okay.
And we keep taking...
I like this idea.
We take,
this is a good
we
idea.
We take plastic out to space.
Okay.
And we build shit out there.
In space.
In space.
Not on a planet, just in the space?
Not on a planet, just into space. So we make it useful somehow. Make it into a space station.
Oh, that's a good idea.
They're not all metal. There's got to be some plastic involved.
Well, the fact that the plastic won't, like, degrade or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's got to mean something in terms of like an outer space situation.
Exactly. Like if there's a way to make a plastic skeleton of a spacecraft and then you shield it with the appropriate materials
yeah.
that you need.
Uh-huh.
And then once you get out there, the plastic's okay once it's in space. Well, it's the leaving the atmosphere and the reentry that causes shit to burn up, right?
But we're going to set it up in like a spaceship or something, right?
Yeah. We're going to haul supplies up there. And then we make a plastic space station.
I think we should put all the plastic in a black hole.
I don't know how you do that without getting sucked into the black hole. Now, granted, I don't know a lot about black holes. All I know about them is from science fiction.
I think we should put the plastic in a black hole, like kind of like, you know when you break up with someone and you're like, oh, my ex, and then you rip up all the pictures of him? Or like you burn, like
cut the heads out? Yeah,
yeah, like, ew, he left a thing behind and I'm going to burn it and I'm going to have a burn party.
God. What are you, in TLC?
Or Risa Tisa, because she talked about, oh, I can't wait to talk about Risa Tisa. Is that the second half of our podcast?
Should we take a break?
We should take a break. We have a wonderful sponsor on this episode. And then, I hate to tease it, but we got to talk about Risa Tisa.
Hate to tease it.
Wait, you can talk credibly, competently about Risa Tisa.
I feel like I can.
Because yeah. You did experience.
I'm not a Risa Tisa scholar by any means.
Okay.
But I was in the room for a lot of it when you were listening to it. All right, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back after this break. We here at Stay of Homekins love to read. You know what? We get plenty of recommendations. And we've got a doozy for you from one of our listeners. Check out The Resurrectionists, the debut novel from indie author Stephanie M. Braun. Fleeing an abusive relationship and in search of her estranged family, Jessica Chase finds herself in San Francisco when her former lover, a con man named Felix Rogers, follows her and she learns that her uncle's life is in danger. Jessica knows it is time to stop running and take action. Together with her brother, she forms a team and sets in motion a heist that becomes a race against the clock to end the threat from Felix once and for all. It's set against the backdrop of Victorian San Francisco, and it's filled with colorful characters. The Resurrectionists follows along as a group of individuals become a team and work together to rescue a man buried alive and to find a sense of belonging with each other. There are plenty of amazing reviews for The Resurrectionists. Fantastically woven story. This unique heist novel is very engaging. Goodreads review. Tightly constructed, cleverly written. S. Kinch, reviewer. A must read. This heist story simmers, then bubbles, and overflows into a killer conclusion. The jaw-dropping ending made me want to go back and reread the book immediately. Goodreads review. Man, if that doesn't make you want to get a copy of The Resurrectionists, I don't know what would. It's a real page-turner. So please get your copy at www.stephaniembraun.com/store. That's Stephanie M. Braun, STEPHANIEMBRAUN.com/store and use the special promo code just for our listeners, Homekins20 at checkout. That's Homekins20 for 20% off any order. It's available in ebook and paperback. So please get your copy of The Resurrectionists and enjoy that page turner.
We, the people, are still in the driver's seat. We get to decide whether our future will grow brighter or whether we'll settle for an America in decline.
She knows it's declining.
I know which choice our children deserve. And I know the choice the Republican Party is fighting for.
Mm.
We are the party of hardworking parents and families.
Isn't that funny? That's the beginning of the rebuttal speech by that intense lady that was like basically went viral.
Who I understand is an elected official.
Apparently she is.
She's some senator or something?
Freshman Republican senator from Alabama. Like she's in the, wait, like
a state senator? Either way, they tried to make her look like a regular person.
Well, I just think it's funny that she's like, where the party? What didn't Alabama just have that whole like debacle with IVF, like the personhood stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, they had to pass like a emergency protection against families who want IVF, and she's like, we're the party of
hardworking parents. Yeah.
I guess like the other party, they don't work hard or something, or what?
No, there's no hardworking parents who are Democrats. Oh, but I like they try to make her look just like a regular. I'm like you. I'm like a regular, hardworking mom. I just happen to be a senator.
She was like very dramatic and intense. Yeah, but
then she's also in this kitchen that looks like a set. It looks like they don't like nobody lives there. And you know what it looks like?
Yeah, it looks weird.
It looks like a model home, like for a subdivision or something.
I mean, we're definitely going to watch this tonight. Like, I want to watch the whole thing.
How long is it?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Thank you.
Anyway, it's not nearly as compelling as Risa Tisa on TikTok.
Great segue.
Okay, so basically, guys and gals and gills.
Yeah, fish people. Hey, are you the fish man from The Shape of Water? I know that you fuck.
That was a thing. That movie was a situation.
Yeah, I liked it. I like that movie. Yeah. I like that it won Best Picture, too, because it's so weird.
It did?
Yeah, it did. It won Best Picture. Oh, the Oscars are coming up as we speak.
That's what I was trying to tell you, is that we had the Oscars.
What do you mean you were trying to tell me that?
You're trying to, like, take our electricity away. I feel like I'm scared.
We have years
Somebody
to prepare
come
for this.
Help me.
We have
Paul's going to make us go off the grid.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing it unless everybody does it. And the time frame is 2030. It's not going to start right away.
All right. Well, I want to check in. I'll check in with you before that. Okay. So I'm not really on TikTok, but everyone was going crazy. Like, basically, my mom was like,
she's all over TikTok.
Well, my mom is like, yeah.
Watching, not posting.
No, she's definitely not. Oh my God. Thank God. That would be fucking terrifying. But anyway, so she was like, one weekend, it was like 3 weeks ago or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, I watched this woman on TikTok, and you gotta watch her. Her name's Risa Tisa, and she told this story about this how she was married to this liar. And I mean, she was so compelling. Mm-hmm. You gotta watch her. And I'm like, okay, mom, like, I don't know what's going on because I'm not really on the TikTok.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I was like texting with the girls or something. And I was like, oh, my mom told me about something on TikTok. And then one of my friends who is on TikTok, it was like, Janie, your mom is right. You have to watch this story.
It
took over TikTok. And I was like, but I'm not really on it. And she was like, no, someone put it on the YouTube. Here's the link.
The YouTube.
Whatever. And so I was like, okay.
Put it on the wireless.
She put it on the Facebook. On the Facebook.
What's that? Are you quoting someone?
You know, that's just like a when they're trying to make someone look like they're not connected to technology in like a sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I did the Facebook.
Oh, you know what they do? It's like,
remember, but in Social Network, he was like, drop the or whatever.
He was right though.
He was right.
Yeah. I went on Face Friend. It's like they like to do that.
I went on the Face Friend. Yeah, that's what they like.
I went on Friend Book.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, like the grandma don't know how to blah, 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 or whatever.
What are you on, Tudor? Where'd you hear that on Tudor?
What's that?
Twitter.
Okay.
Why are you mad at me?
I'm not. I'm mad at the writer's room.
This dumb writer's room we made up.
This writer's room is like, they just want to go home.
Oh my God.
They just want to go home.
They just want to go to the smokehouse and get shit-faced.
They want to get shit-faced. Oh, you know what? That is like my dream, is like to be in some writer's room, in some bungalow on, I don't know, some bungalow somewhere.
On some lot.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're going to a smokehouse for happy hour.
I used to have alcohol in my dressing room when I worked on that sitcom.
Sure.
And then there was one night.
That seems normal.
I think I've told you the story.
For the 90s?
This was early aughts.
Okay.
That show ran in 2000.
Dag.
And I remember it was close to the holidays, towards the end of the season. And it was a network show, so we had to do like season's greetings from the cast of Dag. Shit.
The best.
So my friend Steven, rest in peace, Steven Dunham, we were done our scenes, and we had to wait until the show was wrapped so we could record the season's greetings messages. Okay. We were going to do that after the audience left, right?
Okay.
So it's a while. So we're hanging out in my dressing room. We're watching the show feed, and we're just like bullshitting and we're drinking. We're having drinks.
Yeah.
We're not getting hammered, but we're buzzed for sure.
You're getting a buzz on.
And so then we have to go out and do these things, and we can barely keep it together because we're laughing so much. And then we had to do one.
The crew was like, come the fuck on.
No, we did not ruin anything. Okay. But we didn't hold anything up. But we did have to do one for Kwanzaa. And that was new at the time, the idea that a network would acknowledge Kwanzaa.
Okay.
And so since we were kind of drunk, I said, hey, Steven, when we do the Kwanzaa one and we say happy Kwanzaa after it's over, let's look at each other like, what? Like, what's that? Which, not a joke that I would make now.
No, that's not.
And guess what? Not a joke I made then, because when it came down to do it, I just did it straight and he was the only one.
No. You fucking left him hanging?
I absolutely left him hanging, yeah. I lost my nerve.
That is so wrong.
But here's the good news. Nobody ever saw the show or those season's greetings. It is wrong. Everything about it is wrong.
Well, the whole thing is wrong.
Like the joke. That joke
is an insensitive, a culturally insensitive
1,000%,
joke.
1,000%. But
we were very casually culturally insensitive long. Because we didn't have...
Absolutely.
The internet or whatever.
No, we did not. We were not interested in learning.
We didn't have the internet.
But I think that I think it took us regular people who are not, you know, hardened to other cultures, other beliefs, other whatever, people that can allow their minds to be expanded.
Yes.
We weren't necessarily doing the expanding ourselves. And it took a while to catch up. And I think it is. I think you're right, because of the internet, where suddenly we were exposed to other people being schooled. And we could say, I never thought about that before. I realize now I've been doing this thing.
Like outside of our bubble.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, but it didn't take, for a lot of us, it didn't take necessarily a person of color saying, hey, don't do that.
Hey, don't make fun of Kwanzaa.
We were lucky enough that we got to see other people in that situation so that we could learn passively and say, oh, I see. This person spelled it out perfectly why that's wrong.
Yeah.
Thank God this idiot asked this question in such a belligerent way.
But also insanely wrong to leave, to like come up with the scheme and then leave your friend hanging.
Well, I argue that that's very funny.
No, that's not funny. That's like worse.
I argue that's that worse. That's, I argue that that's hilarious.
All I know is, okay, so back to Risa Tisa, because I feel like...
How long did it take you to watch?
I don't know.
It's 7.5 hours long, right? The whole thing?
Yeah.
And how long...
Okay, so it says that Gina sent the link to the YouTube.
To the YouTube.
She said, no, someone stitched it together on YouTube, so you don't have to be on the TikTok.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, so she sent it, and I had to take a lunch break from work, so I made a sandwich, and I was like, I'll just start watching it while I'm having my sandwich.
Right.
You know, and so
what,
like,
could go wrong?
So I start watching it, and it is immediately like unique.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that, you can tell, like, so she's like, so Risa Tisa is in her car and she's looking at like the camera, like, you know, how you TikTok videos, yeah, people just film themselves front facing videos in the car, blah, yeah, blah, yeah, blah. And like, but it's an immediately unique in that she starts going into meticulous, mundane details,
yeah,
about like, how she met her ex, like what website it was, what, mm-hmm, his profile, like, and I'm like, oh my God, like this is so, I'm already in,
mm-hmm,
like I'm already in with these details. Like I can tell by the setup that the story is going to be like a doozy,
mm-hmm,
because you would never start with so granularly.
Right.
If you weren't needing to stitch somebody along for the ride.
Yes.
Like you just would never do that.
And she's a good storyteller.
She's an amazing storyteller.
She brilliantly titled the series, Who the Fuck Did I Marry?
To be fair, Who TF Did I Marry?
Well, she wants to make it family friendly.
It's called Who TF
Did I Marry? Yes. But
and,
I know what the TF stands,
yeah,
for.
Yeah, and she'll be like, okay, part 31 of... Who the fuck did I marry? You know, whatever. And she's like colorful in the telling. Like, even though she's like meticulous about the details, she'll like insert certain like reactions and, yes, stuff, you know.
But she does, she's so good at it because it's not like a lot of online people or reality show type people that are trying to be a big personality.
No.
You know what I mean?
She's being very measured.
She is just, she's
grounded.
Like someone you know.
She's like your friend who's like,
yeah,
oh, you didn't know the story?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, we'll pull up
somebody
a chair.
Somebody you know that you love to hear them break down something that happened,
yeah,
to,
like,
them.
And then you're like, okay, I can't, wait, let me get my glass of wine because I cannot wait to and start from the beginning. Like,
exactly.
Like literally,
exactly.
I would be like, start from the beginning. Like, mm. With, if this person were my friend, you just
know. And you know what? She did.
She fucking did.
She did.
She fucking started from the beginning. It's 7.5 hours. So then I'm like, okay, like I'm kind of into it. I'm kind of into it in a way where like, oh yeah, I'm going to listen to this entire thing. Like, mm-hmm, I have to. But you get to a place with it where you're like, okay, I don't have to watch it necessarily. And then she,
yeah,
came out later and said she purposefully recorded it in such a way that it would be an audio story.
Right.
So I was like, I don't need to watch this. Like, I can throw,
she's
this,
not throwing up graphics. She's not like,
there's
pointing
a couple
to
of
things.
Graphics, but they don't matter. Like,
no.
There's at the beginning, and then she kind of abandons the graphics,
yeah,
I think. But like, so basically, like, I started listening to it in my earbuds, like it's a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So now I'm binging this person's podcast, like, over like a couple days.
Yeah.
And I like cannot wait to like drive somewhere or take a walk in the neighborhood so I can hear,
mm-hmm,
the rest of the story. And like she calls like her ex Legion, which I didn't know because Paul, like, because then I was like playing it like while I was doing stuff around the house. And so then Paul was like catching the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I would stop it.
And actively listening. Like, it was compelling.
Like, I would hear you in the other room, like, laugh, like, here and there. Like, I was like, oh, my God. That's like, he's true. Listening to, like, because she was so funny. Like, she was like, oh, we went furniture shopping at Lowe's and then Home Depot. And I went ham on that. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, and she's like, I went ham. And then she, at one point, she's like, okay, guys. Raise your tray tables and buckle your seatbelt because this next part is going to be crazy. And then it kind of like, it is such a web of deceit. And what is so compelling about it too is that she is so self-aware. She talks yes. about basically her longing for this relationship mm-hmm. that looks like kind of like a relationship on TV or something where the man is like, I want to build this wonderful life.
He's a successful
life.
Condiment vice president.
He's an ex arena football player or something or some weird.
Arena football. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had like, he had savings and he was like a regional manager at the condiments company. Mm-hmm. He would be on the phone every day for hours with who she thought were his relatives.
I think it's very funny that
it's
she
insane.
Leaves out the name of the condiment company, even though he didn't work there.
No, I think he worked in the loading dock
oh,
or something.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Or something.
All right. Like I did not hear all 7.5 hours.
Well, the point is that she met him right before COVID. Mm. They immediately became, there was an accidental pregnancy. Mm. And so then they were like living, next thing you know, they were like living together and planning for this future.
Yeah.
Which, you know, thank God for her, she miscarried this child with this insane person.
Which she said, right?
Yes, she said, she understands.
Which I know that's like a divisive thing for some people, but she said,
she
you know,
said
I'm
that it
kind
was.
Of, I'm glad that I didn't
yes,
carry this baby to term.
Yes. Yes.
His baby.
Because she did not want to be connected to this
yes,
liar, this
for the rest of her
manipulator
life.
For their.
Yes.
And not only that, have another innocent human being
yeah.
that would be connected to this
yeah.
person in this way, you
yes.
know? So, anyway, so she was basically like, I don't know. So then I'm like, so now I'm like getting everyone to listen to it. Like I have to have people listening to this. Like I have to talk about it. You know, thank God. Like everyone was like, Nicole had already listened to it. I knew that. Paige, I got to listen to it. Catherine, Samantha, Krista started it. Jen Sims started. Like basically like I've gotten like everyone, you know, and like Catherine's like 5 minutes in and she literally like is texting me like, It's not only a treatise on her as an individual, but it is the thesis is like the lies we tell ourselves mm-hmm. to survive in a system designed to yeah. oppress us. And I'm like, wait, she just like literally like compared this whole thing to the fucking patriarchy in a way where I was like,
yeah.
yes, this is why I think it like hit. I think it hit because she was basically like telling herself these couldn't be lies. Mm-hmm. Because she wanted to feel safe in a system, number one, during COVID.
Yeah.
But number two, just like in a system of fucking brutality.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she thought this was like her person. She wanted it to be her person. Mm-hmm. And because he clearly has narcissism and is a manipulator, he crafted himself as her person. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Very quick detour. When we watch Southern Charm, the terrible show.
Oh, yeah. Where's this going? I'm so curious.
There are often commercials for Southern Hospitality, which is a spinoff of Southern Charm, which we have not watched and will never watch. But
no.
I think we started to watch one and it was so instantly boring.
It accidentally started after
yeah,
one
was like
or
this,
something.
No.
I was like, no, I'm not going to watch this.
But there's a clip that they show over and over again, which is a woman saying to a man, I thought you were my person. And then he just goes, no.
Every time it comes on, Paul like cannot stand. Like he loses his mind.
It's such a perfect exchange.
I thought you were my person.
No.
No. Anyway, so then Risa Tisa apparently like she goes viral. She doesn't know that she's going to go viral, but like, I guess.
How wild that a 7.5 hour story went viral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, but
that's a feat.
I have to say it was such an amazing story that, and the way that she, and the lessons that she learned about like herself and, and how like open she was about just the trauma that she suffered from this, that, like that she doesn't want to trust anyone again, you know?
Her self-examination and her, and you know,
admission. She's in therapy,
she
talks about therapy.
Sure. But her admission of like when she's saying things like, I know that I sound stupid. I know that I sound like I got, you know, hoodwinked and I was completely gullible. And I understand. I understand you're watching this and you're thinking, how could she do this?
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating and it's so human.
It's so human.
It's amazing. It's legitimately amazing.
But then, like, then she becomes, as she says, the FBI, the CIA, and the, like, IRS or whatever all at once or whatever. Because she, she basically secretly fact checks him because her spidey senses are going like off.
When she was doing the Google image searches of her of his bank account, like he would
show her pictures.
He would show us like, here's my bank account.
Yes.
As if he's online with his bank. And then she found out those were just,
she like reverse imaged them.
Yeah, they were just
pictures of someone's Instagram or something or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's like she like it was a house of cards. Mm-hmm. And I think when it came down for her, and she was still living with him when she like researches his identity and all this stuff. And so, oh my God, like you're literally like on the edge of your seat going, how is this going to get sorted? Mm-hmm. How is this, you know, how is this going to, you know, whatever. So she calls him Legion. This was like, so Paul's listening. She calls him Legion. Well, Paul points out that Legion, I didn't know this, is like a demon.
We are Legion. Yes.
I had no idea. So to me, like, I just thought she was calling him that because it was funny. And then you're like, oh, no, it means like a demon. It's like a demon. He's like the devil or
a bunch of demons.
Or a bunch of demons. Yeah. So he's Legion, the demon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that added a layer for me. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, so then like she wraps it up. She's done like some Q&As because people have questions and she, oh, so I guess like she went viral on TikTok and I'm hoping that she's, you know, capitalizing, monetizing on things. But like, I guess she was not quote unquote registered as a TikTok creator or whatever, like whatever that means where you can make money.
Yeah.
So when she started her TikTok, she was not registered as a creator. And then she went viral and then she went back and was able to get herself registered somehow. But I mean, a lot of people, I think, were thinking like she made a gazillion dollars off of just her videos. Right. But I think she wasn't on TikTok as like an influencer.
Yeah.
She was on TikTok just for whatever, for being a person.
Yeah.
And then she started telling the story and then it went fucking crazy viral. It got written up in like the fucking Washington Post, the New York Times.
She's got an agent at CAA
but
now.
But now she's been signed by CAA. Well, thank God, because someone needs to be shepherding deals that are going to come her way. Because, like that. So then she went and back registered. She was on Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just went. She like basically has gone completely. Like, definitely, there's going to end up being like a book deal, she could host a podcast.
She has put Damn Daniel in the ground.
Damn Daniel.
at it again with the white van.
But I also am like, clearly, now I'm blanking on her name. She's nominated for an Oscar. She's in Color Purple.
Oh, Danielle Brooks.
Danielle Brooks.
Yeah.
I'm like, if Danielle Brooks does not like option this... I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Because like they're going to probably make like a Dirty John version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Do you know what would be funny if they made a movie and it is just her sitting in a car? It's just the actor just absolutely replicating it. It is 7.5 hours long. No. It's like four movies that are released over 5 years.
If I were handling her career, number one, I would get her a book deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd connect her with an amazing ghostwriter, number one.
Right.
Number two, I would definitely get the limited series, like, I don't know, into somebody's hands. Mm. Shonda Rhimes, Ryan, whatever, somebody's hands. Number three, I would get her a podcast where she finds other people who have been lied to.
Uh-huh.
And she takes them through their journey emotionally,
yeah,
like on every episode, and talks about like how they are doing. And that's what I would do if I were handling her career.
Sure.
But no one asked me.
Maybe then, you should reach out to her directly.
I'm sure that it'll get right to her after so many people are asking her questions. But like, so I guess like Legion then like came out.
No.
Yeah, and he's got like some show on YouTube.
No.
Apparently, dude. This is what
dude.
And he's saying how she's a liar and that he caught her cheating on him and that's why they're not together anymore and that everything she said was a lie.
So he is very high up in this condiment company. His bank account is exactly what it looked like.
I don't know because I didn't watch it, but it was like Jen Sims said that she was at the airport and her waitress at the airport also was into Risa Tisa and like told her about the YouTube show that Legion has and that, but according to her server at the airport, he definitely comes off as like a master that he's such a good liar.
Wow.
That like,
wow.
You almost think like he believes it and stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right. Wow.
That it's, and I was like, well, that's somewhat interesting. Like maybe I would check it out. Although, but I don't find him as interesting as her.
No.
You know?
I haven't heard all 7.5 hours.
But then
I automatically believe her.
But I will say this. This was something I haven't gotten clarity on because I didn't go deep.
Mm-hmm.
But in her, she did like a follow-up video where she has been contacted by Legion's family and stuff.
Yeah.
And Legion is, I guess he's from Philly, the Philly area. And he has like a twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the brother told Risa Tisa to let everyone know so that we get back to Legion.
Right.
The captain is loose and that he would know what that means.
Forgot about that.
And that like anyone from Philly or something that has been part of this would know what that means. The captain is loose. I hope I'm not messing that up.
I wish I knew.
It was something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
cap,
and maybe that, like, yeah, I'm going to, the captain is, yeah. And maybe there is some clarity on what that
was
means.
Was that the Captain Morgan phrase, motto? What, not motto. What am I thinking of? Slogan, advertising slogan. Remember that when people were doing the Captain Morgan thing or they were trying to make that happen on the commercials?
There was something about the captain in the, okay, Google says it's a sailing. I'm on the who TF did I marry fans Reddit. The captain is loose. What does it mean? Google says it's a sailing term meaning a ship is unanchored and out of control. They think friends and family use it to make one another aware that Legion is having an episode because he is mentally ill.
Wait, so there. So what good is it to tell the guy who's having the episode that he's having an episode?
I think that he wanted it to get to all of Philly.
Okay. So the entire city knows this guy.
Like if he's going to show up, you know, like don't let him show up at your door. The
okay.
Cat.
And then what? Everybody's supposed to know what this means? The entire city? I'm from there. I've never heard this phrase in my life.
I think if you're from the city and you've had dealings with Legion.
Okay.
If you're
who's famously nautical. She goes on and on about that in the story. I was wearing his captain's hat. He's got that parrot.
No, but he does have the WWE belt buckles and the Invicta watches that he like left behind. Right. She was like, and if you know about WWE belt buckles, like they're not inexpensive, apparently.
Yeah.
And the Invicta watch. Like the detail is like insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't look. Let's just say when as soon as I finished Risa Tisa, as soon as it ended,
mm-hmm.
and you were here when we ended it because we watched the end together.
Yes.
Well, we did throw it up on the screen.
Didn't she put like some music over the last thing, right? Like some sort of ending music. Am I imagining that?
Maybe the YouTuber did, but I don't know.
Because
I was watching the
point.
But I don't remember. But all I know is that as soon as it ended, I was like, this is an American masterpiece. Like, I literally was so enthralled for 7.5 hours
of just made.
Like a complete extemporaneous storytelling of somebody's real life experience who has absolutely examined themselves and is courageously telling a story that might make her look incredibly gullible and not very, and she's clearly very smart because she found out everything. She found out everything.
As Studs Terkel has ascended to Mount Olympus, Americans must now tell their own stories unprompted.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. This makes Studs Terkel look like Snooze Terkel.
Hey.
You think anything this exciting happened to
Studs Terkel?
You think that anything this interesting happened to Studs Terkel?
What if he had been the one? And then what happened? Wait, so he didn't work at the condiment company? Oh, he worked at the loading dock.
Is that how he talks?
A little bit, yeah. He's in the movie 8 Men Out.
Okay.
He plays a sports writer with John Sayles, who directed the movie.
Why? Was he? Well, he was a monologist, right? Studs Terkel?
No, he was. I don't know if he did.
I think I'm the
Studs Terkel was like, he just interviewed.
He like average
Americans.
He documented and was journalistic about like average working Americans.
Yeah.
But he didn't monologize about them?
I don't know.
I'm thinking of someone else. Someone's
Spalding
gonna,
Gray?
Yes, thank you. But they're not
he
even
just
close.
Talked about himself.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, Spalding Gray,
oh my
yeah.
God. Is he still alive?
No, it was bad.
What?
I believe he killed himself and he drowned himself. And he was like found, I think they pulled him out of a river. It was very sad.
Really?
Yeah.
Was there substance abuse stuff?
I don't recall, but he was a troubled guy. He was a troubled
so
guy.
Sad.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm like, these types of artists or artisans or whatever would love TikTok. Do you know what I mean?
Probably, yeah. Honestly, yes. Yeah.
Because that's where we're going, right?
Yeah.
With like.
Yeah.
With this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, for as much ridiculous, phony garbage is on those sites, on TikTok, Instagram, whatever, with influencer things, with like trad moms and shit like that. You know, who are like, I wake up at 4:30 a.m. and I make homemade porridge. Like, there are people that are telling their honest stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just being
100.
Themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's like, but how do you find that stuff? Because the algorithm, who is daddy.
Algorithm is daddy.
Daddy isn't giving it to us.
Daddy, give us what we want, daddy.
Give us the truth.
Daddy, give us the truth as a treat.
Daddy, we can handle the truth.
As little a treat.
We can handle the truth.
Daddy, we're not the people in A Few Good Men.
Why do you, did you know that like billionaires like own Hawaii?
Yes, you told me this the other day.
I know.
That they keep buying up all the land.
Yeah, that's not cool, right?
Is
it true that
so
like
bleak.
Mark Zuckerberg is building like some kind of like survival compound.
I don't know, but I absolutely believe it.
Some millionaire owns almost all of Lanai, the entirety.
Millionaire?
Oh, did I say millionaire?
Just now you did.
I meant
gotta be billionaire with a B.
That's a B. Big B.
Big B. You know, I'm a big B billionaire.
Hey, you know what's cooler than $1 billion?
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
You know what's cooler than $1 billion? $1 trillion.
A trillion. Ew. I don't. Whatever.
I know.
Was that the, like, who knew that The Social Network, though, like that movie, which, by the way, I think is an awesome movie. I love that movie.
That's one of those movies.
Why do I love that movie? It's just so well done.
Is that a Fincher, right?
It's, yeah, I think it is a Fincher. That's why I love it, because I love David Fincher.
Those movies go down easy, baby. You can put it on anytime. Zodiac, anytime. You know what I mean? Seven most times. Not as much anymore.
Sorkin, you know, when he writes about that kind of stuff, I guess he hits it. He hits the nail.
Yeah, yeah.
He got that story interesting. Oh,
you know what's weird about The Social Network? Nobody mentioned screwball comedies from the 30s.
Are we talking about
this is one of Aaron Sorkin's things.
The 9/11 episode of The Newsroom.
Oh, which I famously auditioned for and did not get.
Oh, I famously had the worst audition of my life for Newsroom.
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do the Sorkin.
Wow. I don't know if
it eluded me.
I don't remember this.
Yeah. It eluded me. Because I think I was just given like a little speech to do and I didn't know anything about the character or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, I fumbled it. I fucking fumbled it. And it was like an in-person audition because it was like back in the day.
Yeah.
Like a pre-read. It was not, did you audition for like an actual like series regular?
No. This was to be one of the passengers on the plane in that episode.
Oh my God. That would have been iconic.
And
as fuck.
I it was a rare for me two audition day where the first audition was some it
I
was
think
like a J.J. Abrams
that,
show.
Yeah, I feel like you did tell me.
What was it called? Power or something like that?
I
it was
don't
like
know.
It you know what it was? I think the idea was all electricity stops on planet Earth or something like that.
You know, you mean the thing that you just said?
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Except nobody wanted it to happen. Not like in my beautiful vision.
Nobody wants it in yours.
But, so I had to do that audition. That was in Santa Monica.
Ugh.
And then, of course, the other audition for The Newsroom was in Hollywood.
Yeah, it was like a Paramount or something, wasn't it? Because I had to go somewhere.
It was like one of those weird studios. Yeah. That
I remember like Francine Maisler or somebody was the
That's
casting.
Not who I read with. I read with somebody else. Somebody that I knew, actually.
Who?
Well, I'm not going to say on the thing.
Okay.
They don't need to be dragged into this.
Oh, I think I know. Wait.
But I know? Was on my way. Of course, the first audition, I'm waiting forever. And so by the time I get called in, it's like it's an hour past my audition time or something. And I know I'm not going to make it to the next audition.
Right.
And so I go in. I have a bad audition. But I knew both casting people. So the first audition, I knew the casting person. I did a bad audition for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that fucking sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to drive all the way across Los Angeles County
mm-hmm.
to get to this other audition.
Yes.
And on the way, I'm talking to my manager, like, I'm never going to make it on time. Mm-hmm. Like, can I reschedule this? Where I'm like, no, they really want you to come in. And so I'm in traffic now. It's rush hour. I'm like, I keep calling and saying, I'm so far away.
Right.
Like they
like
want you to come
in. Like I may as well be in Santa Barbara.
Come in.
Yeah. Like,
because it's going to be for the producers and everything. Like everybody's going to be there.
Right.
So then of course, they're telling me, I called like four times and they keep telling me, no, they want you to come in. They really want to see you.
fuck you. I'm already mad.
And then I get there, and of course, everybody has gone home except for the casting person who knows me, you know. And so I do this audition. I know it sucks, and I leave, and I'm so fucking mad. Then when I see it, I'm like, okay, it's not so bad.
Yeah, but it would have been iconic.
I mean, I'm very torn.
Because that scene is like passed around on the internet all the time.
I would, honestly, yes. I would have loved to have been part of that history. But the part that I read for was melded into another part.
Because they made it one person. You weren't on time. They were like, I guess we got to throw these lines. We're going to throw these lines to this other person.
That guy's tardiness made us rethink this scene. And you know what?
Like, you know
we're
what?
Also we never going to call that guy in again.
We can save money on whatever. God. Yeah.
Never heard from either casting office again.
I don't know. I mean, whatever. But
then we get back to Osama bin Laden is dead. Because much as I texted you the news.
Yeah. Newsroom had broken
newsroom
it.
Newsroom got to
2 years later.
Guy got to 2 years later. Got to tell that pilot, sir, we have just killed Osama bin Laden for you.
Oh wait, that was the scene. It wasn't 9/11.
No,
the scene is that they killed Osama bin Laden. Yes.
The scene is, and I can't remember the guy's name. He's playing somebody who works at the newsroom, and he's being a real pill on the plane. They're stuck on the tarmac.
You know what? If that happened today,
yeah,
he'd be filmed on an iPhone and everyone would be like, get a load of this Karen.
Well, what's funny is that it happened then. He would have been like an air marshal would have shot him in the face.
Right. Because it was post 9/11.
It was post 9/11.
It was like 10 years after 9/11. Yes. Like we still were like taking our shoes off.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly. So
yeah.
That behavior would not have been tolerated. Here's the amazing thing about that scene is that he is giving the female flight attendant a hard time and calling her crazy and stuff like that because she keeps telling him, hey, stop breaking the fucking rules, you fucking asshole. And he keeps breaking the rules. And it's supposed to be funny, but it's not funny. And so then when he gets the news or whatever, he's still being a fucking asshole. And then the captain of the plane comes out and says, like, what's going on here? Who's making all this noise, whatever? And the guy, you know, he's sort of chastened and he looks at the captain, looks at, you know, his flight wings and he looks at his name tag and all this shit. And then it like the gravity of it hits him. And he says, sir, he looks at the co-pilot, like co-pilot. Then he looks at the flight attendant he's been giving a hard time to. And he says, crazy lady. And that's supposed to be funny, but it's like, okay, if you realized all this, like what flight crews have been through.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Why would you still call her crazy lady? You should be realizing, oh, she was right the whole time. I'm happy to say that.
I took it the wrong way. I thought he was saying, we just killed Osama bin Laden for you.
Happy to tell you that America has killed Osama bin Laden for you or whatever. I'm happy to bring the news, to give you this news.
Don't be mad at news people being assholes because we bring you this news.
But that, no, it's not. He's not saying don't be mad.
But that's the subtext.
No. This is what's wrong with it. The subtext is, I am chastened because I'm face to face with the person I'm giving the news to. Like I'm in the news business and we give the news, you know, through a camera and I never am face to face with people.
Okay.
And I'm realizing like, oh my God, I'm not late to deliver the news. I get to deliver the news to someone that it truly impacts.
Yes.
But not this bitch.
This dumb bitch. Wait, but that's what's so crazy about it is like basically like America has killed Osama bin Laden for you, pilot. But you like stewardess lady who also will die in a plane that's hijacked. Yeah. We don't care about you.
Yeah. And
it's weird.
Your job is not important the way the pilot's job is. Like, you're not the first line. I'm not recognizing that you're the first line of defense in something that could go wrong on a plane.
Right.
Because you're a woman. So fuck you.
No, you're not a woman. Waitress. You're a crazy woman.
You're a crazy waitress.
You're a crazy ass woman.
And I'm important. I'm a newsman. I'm important. Even now, while I'm realizing my importance and saying, oh my God, I have a responsibility. And to tell this man is like, that's humbling, but you're still a dumb bitch.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird choice. Sorry, Aaron Sorkin. I obviously probably listens to this podcast. Don't you think?
You think Aaron listens to this podcast?
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin?
Yeah.
I want to say this to Aaron Sorkin. This is confidential Aaron Sorkin. I'm talking only to him right now. In the way that this guy was talking to the pilot alone.
Okay.
Delivering the news. Aaron? Swing and a miss. Not great.
We think that the airplane scene about killing Osama bin Laden had some strange detours in it. Some tone deaf detours.
I mean, there were many.
Some culturally insensitive holes.
There were many, many issues. But number one with a bullet, calling her crazy lady after you realize
crazy
what
lady.
This means.
Oh, cuckoo.
Speaking of crazy ladies. Cuckoo, we're kidding. Cuckoo. It's just because your name is Cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Oh, my God.
All right. I think we should wrap it up. Cuckoo is trying to tell us something.
I had to talk about Risa Tisa in Act Two because basically it was going to, like, it could have been a recommendation, but it was more than a recommendation.
It's more than a recommendation to me.
Yes.
More than a recommendation.
I just love Risa Tisa.
You really do. I hope you get to meet her.
Oh, that would be fun.
That would be fun. I hope you get to meet her.
Maybe she'll have me on her podcast. I have a story of my own about a liar.
That's exactly right.
This podcast that she doesn't have yet.
Mm-hmm. Which hasn't even been mentioned except by you.
I just think it's a great format for her.
Yeah, I think so too. I bet she would be a good host. I bet she'd be very engaging, and I bet she'd be a good conversationalist with other people.
Well, now, what kind of recommendations do you have, Paul, as we enter into the final moments of our March episode of Stay of Homekins?
I've started reading the memoir of my boy, Werner Herzog, and it does not disappoint. So, tell. I'm just a few chapters in. It's great. He's great. It's called Every Man for Himself and God Against All.
It's
a tremendous title.
Okay, this sounds like something I could get up into.
I think you could. He's a really good writer. Like, he's a great storyteller, and I'm learning about his childhood, which I never knew anything about. It's wild. He's I did not know any of this about his past, and growing up in post World War II Bavaria it's fascinating.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That's my, we got to recommend Traitors. If you're not on the Traitors train, if you've been hearing about it, we got caught up in record time and we love it.
I like Traitors UK a little bit.
Traitors UK is our favorite. Traitors US season 2, absolutely worth your time.
You could almost skip Traitors USC season 1,
You could skip season 1 of US.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
We started watching Traitors Australia,
which
you fell asleep.
I know.
But the first episode I thought was very compelling, and I definitely want to watch more.
I just don't like that Traitors Australia doesn't take place at the same place
as a little
UK
off-brand.
And US. Not the Oreos, but the
Hydrox. And you know, Hydrox was first. Did you know that?
Well, they screwed it.
They did.
Because Oreos got him with that name.
Up Hydrox. Maybe no one wants to eat Hydrox.
It sounds like a cleaner.
It sounds like poison.
Yeah, it does.
Hydrox.
It does.
But the Australian ones, what's also funny is that there could be for a bunch of silver instead of gold. And for some reason, that's so funny to me. Because in both the UK and the US version, like, you see this pile of gold. You're like, oh my God. And then the host, the Australian one, who I have no idea who he is, Roger somebody, and he must be like a known quantity in Australia. Apologies to this man. I'm sorry to this man. But when he unveils the silver, he's like, look at all this. And everybody's like, oh, and it's like, why is it not gold?
Maybe it's like worth more there.
Maybe. I don't know. But I mean, gold is the gold standard for things being expensive. You know what I mean?
I thought so too, but yeah, I don't know.
Did it just look more impressive as silver? Like, for the same money, if they had gold, would it have been like two discs of gold?
I have no idea. It's all fake. It's all made up anyway. It's like essentially Bitcoin.
So true. It's so true.
So yeah, we like traders. We like Alan Cumming.
Alan Cumming is the fucking best, man.
But I do like USA. I mean, UK one better.
Yeah, and works. The UK season two just dropped.
Oh yeah, we gotta watch that soon. Yes. Like this weekend.
This is a recommendation, a personal recommendation.
Oh, I'm listening.
Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
What?
I'm doing my Varietopia St. Patrick's Day special.
What?
Irish music and comedy.
Sounds fun.
Traditional music, modern music. It's going to be a ball. Did one last year. It was so much fun. Mm. I'm really looking forward to it. And this year, not only are there still tickets available for the Los Angeles Lodge Room performance.
Yeah.
We're live streaming it as well.
What?
So you don't have to be in Los Angeles.
Are you saying that you can buy a ticket to watch the show live?
Yeah.
From like your internet?
Yeah.
On St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. Buy the ticket before St. Patrick's Day, and then you can watch it for up to a week afterwards.
What?
Yes, yes, yes.
Get all your tickets
at paulftompkins.com/live.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. But tickets are not moving as swiftly as we would like, so we got a week to get the numbers up. But really do come out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Sounds fun.
7 p.m. showtime. So, you know, you get home before things get really crazy. Also, yeah. I think most people are going to be doing their celebrating the night before.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people, because, you know, Sunday is a school night.
St. Patrick's Day observed.
Exactly.
Is more Saturday.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. I get
but
it.
But come out for like a chill, fun time.
That sounds really fun. I can't wait.
I can't wait.
Okay, very cool. All right.
I think that's it, right?
I guess. You're doing the recommendations for us, and...
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
I guess. Well, I've been sort of into this true crime podcast.
There we go.
But it's grim because it's you know, a young person lost their life. But it's called Three, and it's been compelling reporting, and it is about a young woman who went missing and was ultimately killed. Mm. In the woods in West Virginia, mm-hmm. like outside of Morgantown. And the story is really terrifying. Mm-hmm. Essentially, she was murdered by her two best friends.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like sociopathic teenagers kind of a thing.
Are there any other kind?
I don't know. But anyway, that's what I'm into. But
your mileage may vary.
I basically listened to the newest one today. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm sort of like, can't wait for the next installment to find out how it plays out. Because I didn't know much about the story. Sorry to bring it down, but.
No.
That's what I like. I like true crime. What am I supposed to say?
If you're a crime buff out there, there you go. There's a recommendation.
I like true shit. I like real shit. I don't like fake shit. That's just where I'm at. I like people's real shit.
You like fake things too, though. Come on.
Like what? Like Traitors?
Traitors is a little fake, sure.
But the Crown.
Like a novel or
the
whatever.
The Crown.
You're naming real things. All right. Thank you so much.
Succession.
There you have
There's
it.
There's a fake thing.
It's a fake thing based on real people.
Okay, God damn it. I just like real shit. What am I supposed to do about that?
You love Rumpelstiltskin? That's fake.
Well, of course, everybody loves Rumpelstiltskin.
Everybody loves Rumpelstiltskin. All right.
Guys, if you have not checked out our weekendwater.substack.com, that everything is there, including Paul's live tickets link is there, all of our podcasts, all of our bonus content.
Sign up to our Substack for free. And if you want to...
you want to hear the other shit.
Give us a little extra dough on top of free, then you can hear us do reactions to Vanderpump Rules and Just Like That. And then the watch-alongs we keep threatening to do, but we have not done yet, but we will.
We haven't because we keep recording these other things.
It's so true.
So we got to squeeze one in there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Until next month,
stay safe,
stay sane,
and stay strong.